There is a story told of a man who suddenly became ill while traveling between villages. Being exactly halfway between two villages posed somewhat of a problem to the authorities, as they questioned which village should be responsible for caring for him. One village maintained that the distance should be measured from the man's navel. The other argued that it should be calculated from the man's mouth. The outcome was obvious, of course, as the two communities argued over the legality of the simple issue of caring for the sick man. Unfortunately, the man died. Throughout the history of civilization, the world has consisted of those who debate the simple issues of what is right and what is wrong and what is humane. Some base their thoughts and actions in the name of a law in which one side perceives as justice and the other does not. Laws have been important for societies because they shape our behavior and conduct, and they create order. But they have also proved harmful when the law becomes more important than the principle in which it attempts to uphold. Jesus experienced this same social issue in our gospel reading today. The scribes and the Pharisees have come to Jesus because they noticed the disciples were not washing their hands before eating. There were prescribed laws around food and eating, so they felt justified in informing Jesus that the disciples were eating with defiled hands. As we understand the way of Christ, we know the law was often given in broad principles, which allowed communities a bit of freedom in interpretation. Around 500 years before Jesus was born, a group called the scribes were more interested in upholding the letter of the law as they understood it to be. Over the course of time, the broad principles of the law became lost to the exact rules and regulations which were being administered by the scribes. For example, the hand washing law once stated, before a meal, one must pour 1.5 eggshells of water over their hands. The hands were to be positioned with the fingertips pointing upwards, and then water was to be poured over them until it ran down the wrist. Then the palms were cleansed using the fist of each hand. This was not necessarily a matter of hygiene. It was a matter of ritual. Even if the hands were spotless, the law demanded that hand washing would be performed in this manner. The community believed it was pleasing to God, and to fail to follow this act was considered a sin. Fast forward to today's passage, we can understand why the scribes and Pharisees were concerned about the disciples, who in their opinion were going against the prescribed law. The response from Jesus came in one sentence and in one single breath as he abolishes oral laws. Jesus saw the people were not worshiping God, but worshiping the very law itself. As he stated, "You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of man." Jesus saw firsthand that the law was being used to divide. It was used to turn people away from God, instead of bringing people toward the God of love and mercy. Jesus informs the community of how their laws were used to judge based upon outwardly appearances, instead of looking at what resides in the heart. The great commandment in which Jesus offers was not a law necessarily, but a way of living which invited communities into coexistence by loving God with soul, mind, and heart, and loving neighbor as self. If you notice, Jesus does not go beyond the broad principle of the laws. He does not define in exact detail how one should love God and neighbor. He does not set up formulas or issue citations. But Jesus presents a way of life as a great teacher and exemplifies a God-filled way of discipleship. Jesus presents this up close and personal example by modeling a behavior which was reflected in the way he lived and in the way he interacted within his community. Jesus modeled how we are to love God, how we are to love ourselves, how we are to love our neighbor. Jesus taught if we looked at the legal model of ever-changing and ever-dividing laws of man, we were missing the message, and more importantly, ignoring the messenger. Jesus taught the community by example of the great commandment, which hangs on all the laws and prophets, and Jesus modeled it in a way which all could believe, in which all could receive. The religious leaders of Jesus' day lost the ideology of the uniqueness of the human race. They forgot that God created each of us with degrees of light, and those differences embodied an array of unique talents, unique processing, unique forms of worship, and unique expressions of loving our neighbor. The commandment to love is the very tie which binds us to the committed work of discipleship and to the gospel. It is still God's expectation for us to serve as agents of love and agents of change in the earthly kingdom. And my brothers and sisters, let's not look at this simple command lightheartedly. It is not a command that we abide by only when we feel good. It is not a command we abide by when we are having a good day. It is not a command to abide by within our chosen circles. It is not a command that we can turn on and off as we choose, because it must be a reality in which the people of God must live into day after day if we truly believe. If we profess God with our mind, body, and soul, then our response to our brothers and sisters should always be a loving response, a godly response, a holy response. And our response is based upon seeds of faith, which should be nurtured within the very fiber of our being. Our response resides in a place of love and acceptance, and although the growth is nurtured inwardly, it is expressed outwardly through our thoughts, our deeds, and actions. Or quite simply, as my great-grandmother would often say, what is in you comes out of you. Although it took a while for me to fully understand her parable, it is really the summary of Mark's message to us today. If our hearts are full of love for God and others, our responses will reflect it. Christ places each of us in a unique position to be used. I believe within all of my being that God enjoys applying his resources to bless our lives of service to one another. In some ways, the freedom to live and serve in love can be a bit more challenging than living by the letter of the law, as the early church did. They probably found it easy to follow laws spelled out in black and white, but these laws did not allow space for God's special sauce of grace and forgiveness. When the law is applied simply as a checklist of do's and don'ts, we don't have to take responsibility for our actions. We just follow the plan, whether it is a good plan or a bad plan. But when we are given freedom and space to express our lives through and around what God calls us to be in the world, we take responsibility for our actions. We take notice of our shortcomings, and we don't go along simply to get along. this may seem to be a bit harder road to travel, but this path is laced with God's guidance. And it is where we notice how God uses each of us in the world. It is where we know if we fail, and we will, God's forgiveness is always available for us. It is always there to love, to correct, and to set us back on the path which is uniquely ordained for each of us. And when we succeed, it is then that we know it is only through the goodness of a loving God. And it is then that we truly know what we know what we know. Because even though our faith has been tested, we have experienced God for ourselves. And as our faith increases, our trust and dependence on a loving God increases. Laws and rules are simple to follow, but they do not measure our character. They direct us into social circles, sometimes comprised of who is in and who stands outside of the circle of life. Character transformation is a bit more challenging, and it requires that we stand upon a firm foundation of faith, which can never be shaken. My sisters and brothers in Christ, may we be reminded that still today, God looks at the condition of our hearts and souls, for it is there where we reflect his light and love. It is within the fabric of the heart and of the actions of the heart, which pour out fully and gracefully into the lives of others. Today, God is still calling us to think deeply about how we will live out each day we are gifted, and each day in which we are blessed to be alive. May we meditate and remember the words of poetess Mary Oliver, who asked in her poem, "What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" May we learn to live each day committed to God's call to love, committed to God's call to community, and committed to God's call to faithful discipleship. Amen.